is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading-edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com. News for Your Soul. Life-changing broadcasts to souls around the world since January 1997.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Okay, let's try that again. I'm not sure if anyone heard me or didn't hear me or couldn't hear Julie. So let's find Julie on the board here, first of all. Make sure that we've got connection. Julie, are you there?
I'm here. Hello, Nicole. How are you going?
I can hear you. Yay. Could you hear me during the intro?
No, not at all.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, let me start from the beginning. This switchboard has been crazy today. Holy smokes. Okay, so just do over, pretend we're just tuning in. So I'm here now to do one of my favorite things, introduce you to one of the new members of the News for the Soul Radio Network family. Julie is going to be hosting the Modern Day Medium in this time slot. Today's the first day, so that means it's introduction interview hour right now. And we start with our famous first question and unpeel the onion from the outside. You can find her profile on newsforthesoul.com. I think that's all I said last time. And let's bring Julie on. Welcome to News for the Soul.
Oh, thank you, Nicole. I'm so excited to be here. A little bit nervous, but super, super excited.
Yay. That's the perfect combination. Excited and nervousness.
Yeah.
It's growth.
Yep.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask the famous first question. The reason we do this is it's the place that really connects us energetically on as a community and movement that's been News for the Soul for 25 years now. The quest to find out what's really real and what's really possible. And it's a question that we don't often ask in regular, 3D life. But I'm curious. Mm-hmm. We all have these experiences, something outside the 3D norm or what we're told is the 3D norm that's got our attention, maybe even set us on our path. And I'm curious what your earliest recollection of something like that would be and also your most profound. And if you have more than two stories, that would be like totally awesome. So wherever you'd like to start.
Thank you. Yeah, so I guess my first recollection was more so like, and when I say my first recollection, it's more about when I was very conscious about what was going on with me, what I was feeling, what I was sensing, and knowing that I was a little bit different, was when I was around 7 years old. And so at that point, it was really strange because it's like I was sitting in front of the mirror in my parents' room, and I used to do this a lot. And it wasn't like a vanity thing. It was like I wanted to see deeper into like my reflection and see if I could see something deeper within me, see if I could see something deeper from the energies that were around me. So I used to use the mirror a lot growing up to kind of really hone in my, I guess if you want to call it like clairvoyancy, and just trying to bring everything more to the forefront. And I remember this one time sitting in front of the mirror, and it's almost like as if I walked into a different time frame. So I could still see my humanness in the mirror as the reflection, but it's like I went even deeper. And it was the first time I said to myself, you know what, there is parallel worlds here. There are other dimensions happening, because it felt like I crossed into it really, really effortlessly just in that moment. And it's almost like as if I could also connect with you know, I'll use the word alien because everyone understands it, but it was more this level of energy that wasn't human or wasn't like angelic. Because, you know, growing up being European, my parents have, you know, lots of holy stuff up there, even though they're not super religious, but, you know, they've got pictures of Jesus or an angel or something. So I knew it felt different to those energies that I had grown up with. And it felt almost like this extraterrestrial, different light being, you know, well beyond what I could understand. And I felt safe. And so that was my first real kind of profound, I guess, moment of delving deeper into different dimensions is the best way to describe
it. It's interesting because I've never actually heard anyone talk about that before in these questions in 25 years. But I remember doing that when I was around 11. And I remember the moment, like it was a moment that, like I remember it like yesterday. It was like where you transcend something. Mm. Yeah, I don't know what the words are, but yeah, I remember doing that. How weird. Get shivered.
I know. And it does, like, I'm like, I'm 43 now, and I remember it like it was yesterday. Like, that's one of the most clearest memories I have. Like, and it's almost like the moment I think about it, I get kind of transported back into that energy and that sensation. Like, I know exactly what I look like. It feels like I'm looking in the mirror at the moment. Like, that's quite profound. So that was that experience.
Wow.
When I was about three, and this is more coming from just like memories and, you know, the older you get, the more you remember your own kind of first recollections when you start to channel and go deeper into your being. But also my mum reminding me that when I was around that age, I would say certain things that I shouldn't have known the answer to, or I shouldn't have experienced it because I wasn't born. So she would be like, hang on a moment, you weren't born when we were doing that in this house or when we were doing this. And there's even recollections of when I was an infant as well. Like, and it's like a memory that stays within me. And again, she'd be like, well, hang on a moment, you were way too young to know that in such detail or to, you know, recall the conversations that were being had. So that's probably like the earliest from a human perspective that anyone can really remember that there was something a little bit different or that I was tapping in to different energies. And I remember, you know, my mum loves like healers and things like that, and she would take me to different healers and just make sure that there wasn't anything wrong with me. You know, and everyone would say to her, no, she's completely fine, you know, she'll end up doing something, you know, with her spirituality when she's a lot older. And so my mum always knew that this was part of my calling. It was very, very, well, all my family and my extended family have always been really supportive of this phase of my life and the gift I have. So that's some of the memories that I can remember and some of the recollections. But I mean, I feel like for me, with my gift as well, the older I've gotten, just like when you ride a bike, the better you get at it, and maybe that's got to do with age or wisdom, for me anyway. I'm finding that I'm tapping into stronger realms or different dimensions. And so almost there's a profound moment for me that's happening, you know, at least once or twice a year that something will click over or there'll be a level of transformation within the energies that I work with or the gift itself. So, and I feel more connected with it. So that's kind of things that are always kind of on the go, which I'm sure happens to a lot of spiritual people, that there's always some type of profound experience. And the other one that's probably like the most recent, when I say recent, probably like going back a couple of years ago when I really connected with who my main guide is. And so I work with the energy of Saint Joachim. So some people know of him, some people don't. There's not much writing about him in, you know, the world, but he is the father of the Virgin Mary. So Saint Joachim and Saint Anne are the parents of Mother Mary, and then obviously that family tree grows. So when I connected with him in more of that conscious space, so he's always been around, I've always felt this gentle, soul around me, knowing it was a really strong male energy. But I went through a trance mediumship with the aid of another medium who does this on a regular basis to really allow him to connect me, for me to really move away from any fears or any expectations of really feeling him and being very conscious of him and understanding him. And so when it happened, just this like floodgate of emotions came out. Like even now when I talk about him, I get quite emotional. And that is quite profound to me, that just recollecting that story or even working with him or when I talk about him, it's a different sensation that comes through. It's a different energy, and it just, it's like this emotion comes through, and I feel like it's this beautiful healing that always happens about release, whatever it is that we're needing to release, because we're still human at the end of the day. So there is always things going on. So that's another amazing experience that I have cherished, the moment that I allowed my human consciousness to accept him fully as how he wanted to come through to me.
So how were you able to establish who your guide was?
So the way we did it with the trans medium or the trans channel that we did, she guided me and kind of let the energy come through. And so for me, I started to see different parts of him, like his skin color, his hair, what he was wearing, some of the facial features. Then I would ask him questions about, you know, so what is your era? How are you connected with some of my other guides? And so this is where he brought in Jesus, and Jesus has always been an energy that's been around me, but I've known that he's not like my main guide. He's, you know, an energy that's there when I'm working and there to like support me. And then I started to ask for initials of his name, or if he could give me, you know, certain letters of his name. And so Joachim, in the, I guess in the English way to spell it, is J-O-A-C-H-I-M. And he started to spell this name out, and I'd never heard of it before. Because like I said, there isn't much writing about him. And I was like, oh, so like Joachim, like who is this person? And then it just kind of like unfolded. And he kept saying to me, you know, if you search for my name, you'll find out all the parts, you know, that you're needing to know for now. And the rest, we will work on it together. And I was like, oh, this is really interesting. And so when I asked also about, well, what is your purpose with me? Like, how are we aligned? And he kept talking about, you know, charitable work and children and wanting to be of service. And I was like, oh, this is really interesting. And so when I did some further research on him, just to find out what I could find in the writings, he was someone who, for a long time, they couldn't have children, but they were very devoted to charity work, helping the less fortunate, being of service, and you know, going to different monasteries and different places where, you know, people could get support, and they would offer money and they would offer food and shelter and all of this type of stuff. So they were very giving, and I've always seen myself as wanting to be someone of that nature and using my gifts as much as possible in that fashion. And so, yeah, so, and the story goes that, you know, he went traveling, and on the same night, him and Saint Anne saw an apparition or an angel, and they said, due to your service, we will give you a child. And there came the Mother Mary, and then that child went into a monastery a couple of years later. So they fulfilled their purpose, and it felt like, I'm not saying that if I have a child, I'll give it up. I'd want to keep it. But it was just this kind of level of service and knowing that, you know, if I had children, that I would also encourage them to be open and to accept themselves. And if they wanted to be of service the way I did it, or just be of service to the world, you know what I mean, like being kind to people and looking after animals and that type of stuff. So there was a really beautiful alignment in our values, and that's kind of probably also why I love his energy and why I'm so blessed and grateful to work with him. But that's how it all came about. It was just the questions that I had asked during that trance channel to bring it through, and being quite specific about what exactly I felt I needed to get from him in order to then piece all the puzzles together. And then since then, I've been channeling him a lot, and obviously get a lot more information about, you know, what his purpose here is, and ultimately his purpose is to help bring healing to the wider community through messages and through energy, and be very charitable. So that's something that I've probably, I've always been charitable, but probably increased it a lot more since he has been in my life, where it's very present for me, as opposed to him always kind of just being there in the background and me not being conscious of who he actually was. So I'm kind of really trying to not necessarily follow in his footsteps, but take a leaf out of his book and be a lot more charitable.
Interesting. I don't think I've ever heard anyone talking about him before on the show. Let's back up a little bit. So when you were younger, you were really supported by awake people, by the sounds of it, which was really lucky. Where did that bring you as far as, like, what did that foster in you? Where did you go with that?
I feel like for me, the support that I had was, it meant that I had access to various healers. So my mum, if I wanted to go see a healer, or if I wanted to go see a reader and, you know, just confirm certain things, or, you know, just what everyone does, we want certain things answered or gain some guidance, I was always able to access that, whether it was through, you know, the little old lady, through word of mouth that you found, you know, in some a suburb somewhere or something like that, or a very kind of well-known person. So my parents were really, really open about that. Also, you know, I would be able to get dropped off at the library and get my hands on all different books about spirituality to learn a lot more about my gift, what was possible. And I think one of the things that they fostered was that anything is possible, so that I'm not limited by anything. And I think that's also been the key as to why I feel that I've evolved or developed to the point where I am at the moment, and will continue to evolve and develop, because they've always said whatever it is that this gift is for, it's obviously for to help others, but don't limit it to just what you think it should be. I got a lot of information from books. I did a lot of development classes when I was super young. So must have been about 16, I would sit with these beautiful older people. So back then, you know, spirituality probably wasn't as open as it is now. And, you know, there was all these older men and women, so probably like I would say like in their 50s, and they'd been doing mediumship, you know, secretly, all coming together. And so I was this little 16-year-old, and I learned so much from them. So I was really grateful that I was able to come in to that space. So there was always, you know, people willing to help me. And I think that's something that I've always wanted to also do for others, and always encourage people to go with like-minded individuals and do development classes and experience different readers and healers, because everyone offers a different perspective and has different, you know, gifts, even though they might come under the same banner. Everyone is unique. And I feel like that is one of the things that my parents always allowed me to do. And even it's funny, like, you know, my brother and my sister, like, they love what I do. Interestingly enough, my family don't really ask me for advice unless it's something, you know, really, really important that they just need some extra guidance on, or they want to come and get a healing. But my family, as much as they love what I do, they keep me super grounded by keeping me very, very, I guess, normal in inverted commas, as much as possible. And, you know, I've got an extended family who, you know, love what I do. And I remember being like 14 and getting my first set of like oracle cards, and I would like read for people. So it was a very fun thing for me. Like, I never made it serious, and no one ever made it serious. Everyone just made it that this is something that Julie does. You know, she sees people who have crossed over, she sees all energies, she talks sometimes in riddles and whatnot. And but they always made it fun and interactive for me, and they never made me feel that I was less than or that I was different, if that makes sense.
So at what point were you aware that you could talk to people that had crossed over?
That one, that was definitely before I was seven. So it was interesting. I remember my cousin's grandmother had passed over, and it was the first time I saw her. And this was before she passed over. I was sleeping, and then I woke up, and she was there. And I was like, hang on, what are you doing here? Like, you're meant to be in a nursing home. I don't understand all of this. And then I kind of went, okay, I think you need to go. So I was a little bit kind of perplexed. It was the first time I actually saw someone that I knew, but I knew that they were not well. And then tried to go back to sleep. And then about 10 minutes later, my mum had come in and said, you know, such and such has passed away. And I was like, oh, but I just saw her. What's going on? And that was where I was like, oh, hang on a moment. I feel like I am starting to see people who are either about to die or have crossed over. And so I started to delve a little bit more deeper into that, just through books I could get my hands on or just talking to people. Another one of the positive things I find about my heritage is being psychic or a medium or a healer, it's always in conversation within either, you know, family members or, you know, who did you last see or what coffee cup, who's going to read the coffee cup this time around. So things like that. Mm-hmm. So I was able to articulate what I saw, and then people were able to say, okay, so this is what's happening. And then I was a little bit nervous to begin with, and then I got excited. I was like, okay, everyone could come. I want to see all of you. And then slowly, bit by bit, people would come through. Some people would be a little bit scary. Like I remember being at my grandma's house, and it was clear as day I saw someone in the next door neighbour's kitchen window, even though I was just told that that house has been empty. So the person that used to live there had passed away, and I never met that person because I was young at the time, and you know, we weren't kind of, you know, friends with my grandmother's neighbours or anything like that. But the person looked really like all white, if that makes sense. So a little bit scary for me being young. And I freaked out. I remember like running inside and getting my sister and pulling her outside and saying, do you see that? Do you see the person there in the window? And she's like, no. And I was like, oh my God. And I was so scared staying at my grandma's house for a little while after that, because that was the first scary, for me anyway, being young. And I'm sure it wasn't. It was just, that's how I perceived it. And then the older I got and the more that I was being shown that different energies may present themselves, how they passed over or not being well, just so you can understand what's going on. And then they start to show you that they're in a good place and they're at peace. And so they start to look a lot more healthy or how they want to be perceived. But there was some kind of wonderful energies and some scary ones, but again, it's just because I was still young and still inexperienced at that stage, and it was just things that were being presented to me, and that's one thing now I don't do. I don't say, okay, everyone come, because the moment you do that, they all go, okay, I'll be here, and so yeah, I don't do that anymore.
I can totally understand. I don't care how old I get. One of my rules is I don't want any holograms popping up when I'm coming around a corner. That's my rule. Deal breaker.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But yeah. Boundaries are cool. That's funny.
Yeah.
So let's get an overview of all that you do now.
Yeah. So for me, so my business, which is the Modern Day Medium, that's the name of the business itself. And so what I do now is, I do a lot of mentoring with people. So we go deep into either their inner frequency or their inner codes, and we work on different facets of their life. So that's something that I'm super excited about, like taking my gifts and my journey and helping, you know, my clients and others progress on, you know, on their journey to go a little bit deeper into their spirituality and join the human side of them as well as the spiritual side and kind of make it as one and make it, I guess, as normal and as flowing as possible. So that's one aspect of my work. The other aspect is healing. So I work with people when it comes to healing trauma and grief. And the reason I have structured it that way is everyone has some form of trauma, whether it's you know, something small or something big, and it can present itself in physical ailments, whether it's anxiety or, you know, whether there's digestive issues or whatever the case may be. And then you've got the trauma from an emotional perspective that sometimes people don't understand where it's coming from, but they don't know how to clear it or they don't know how to deal with it. So that's one aspect of the healing that I do. And the grief had really come through, and I couldn't understand why Spirit wanted me to focus on grief because, like, oh, it's quite, like, a heavy aspect to deal with. And most people who know me, I'm very light-driven. I, you know, I don't like fears and stuff. Like, as in, like, I don't try and put fear into people. I'm very constructive. I'm very, you know, let's kind of get to the solution. Let's see if what guidance we can get you. Let's see, we can get you back on the path and that type of stuff. So they asked me to do grief, and it was more because I could connect with loved ones that have crossed over. And I feel like sometimes when we do lose a loved one, even though connecting with them isn't going to make everything feel better again, it's all that type of, like, you know, it's not about that, but I feel like if we can know that they are safe and if we can feel their energy and they're giving us messages to make sure that, you know, we feel that we're doing the right thing by them or that, you know, how the way our life has turned out, they're happy for us. That's kind of why I brought the grief element through. And then the healing part when we're working on the grief is not just about bringing that loved one through so they can connect with them, but to bring that, the physical grief that sits in, you know, the body, to try and also calm that out and help them release whatever blocks or fears or even sometimes, you know, when we lose someone, we have a lot of regret that we didn't say something, regret that, you know, maybe we didn't see them enough, all that type of thing. And that's a very human thing to do. And we all do it. Like, I recently lost, you know, my dog, and that was, I found that, for me anyway, that was the reason why they wanted me to do grief, because the grief I experienced of losing my dog was so huge that I was like, oh, my God, this is what people feel, you know, whether it's a fur baby or whether it's a human being. Like, it's really, really deep and very sad. And I think for those who don't have someone to allow them or hold space for them to feel that it's okay and to connect with that loved one and then have some healing to allow them to also feel that they can feel okay. Because I feel like there's sometimes, just from my experience with some of the clients I've had, it's like they feel like if they move on with their life and they're in a good place, that they're not honoring the person. And it's like they feel that maybe it'll show them that they didn't love them enough, but that's completely opposite, because those who have crossed over, they want you to move on with your life. They definitely want you to feel happy and joy again, because they are in a good place and they will feel a lot better if they can see you in a really good place as well. So I feel like that's the reason why my healings have shifted and I've focused more on that trauma and that grief. So that's that aspect. And then I do different classes. So at the moment I'm doing something called the Mystic Circle, which is online, and so people can come once a month on a Sunday and we talk about spirituality. I take them through exercises, you know, through channels, through healings, to help open them up spiritually to whatever their gifts are. So it's not necessarily you know, are we going to work on your mediumship skills or we're going to work on your healing skills? It's about, where are you sitting spiritually? What do we need to kind of, as a collective, help you evolve? Because I feel like the more that we work on, say, evolvement or our overall spirituality and awareness, that's where I feel like your natural gifts, whether they are clairvoyancy, whether they are talking to loved ones who've crossed over, whether that's to heal humans or pets, that will naturally grow because you've allowed yourself to accept and open, as opposed to sometimes where people just feel like, oh no, I need to connect with my guide, and if I don't connect with it, I'm not good enough, or I can't do this. And I feel like when you put those constraints on yourself, you can block yourself from evolving. So that's kind of how I've structured the Mystic Circle. And there will be a women's circle coming as well sometime this year, and that's more on sacred connection. So that's more about embodiment practices and really coming back to that divine feminine energy and working on those aspects where relationships, intimacy, who you are as a self, your spirituality will come into play. So that's what I'm doing at the moment. I'm always evolving. So a lot of my clients know, I will never really do one thing. I won't repeat myself. It's always about the next level, the evolvement, the transformation, and taking them on that journey with me. So I'm sure 2023, 2024 will bring something different, as it always does, but that's currently what I'm doing.
Cool. All right. So here's what I'm being guided to ask you. The pace and the flow is a little different at this hour than normal. Would you feel comfortable doing like an example session with me?
Yeah, of course. 100%.
All right.
Woo. Yeah. All right. So when you say an example session, would you like a reading, as in like seeing what messages are coming through, or
yeah,
would you like a healing, or a little bit of both?
Oh, a little bit of both. I can't say no to that.
Easy done. All righty. Okay. And is there anything that I can't talk about? Or any subject or area of your life
open book.
Let's see what comes up. Okay, cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
So I tend to like scribble on my notepad, so I'm just going to see what areas we would like to kind of bring up for you. Okay. Okay, so there's three aspects that we're wanting to bring through. One is career, one is health and well-being, and one is loved ones that have crossed over. And I can see, feels like they're little animals, so dogs or cats or something like that. But they're also talking about you. Did you have animals growing up as well, or is it just the animal that you've had in your later life?
There is both.
Both, okay. All right, because all of a sudden I keep seeing like a lot of animals starting to come through. So, but they also talk about loved ones that have crossed over. So I'm seeing like a really, really strong female presence, but she keeps saying to me there are other energies or other people that are connected with her, and it feels like it's quite ancestral. So it feels like there is family members either that you're aware of or not aware of, so that means that you've probably not met them in the past, or maybe in this current lifetime you weren't either close to them or you weren't able to connect with them for whatever reason, but she keeps bringing through that they are all with you, if that makes sense. But it feels like she's like the main person who wants to talk. So has there also been like a woman that's been around you that you can sense as a family member that's crossed over?
I know that I have family out there somewhere that I've never met that would have crossed over by now.
Okay. All right. So it feels like she's bringing that side through, and it feels like she might be part of that side as well. But it feels like you know of her or you know her. So is there a female energy that has crossed, and does feel like she's much older, that crossed over like a grandmother or a mother type of energy?
There is, yeah. Someone I used to work with, actually.
Okay. Let's have a look, see if I can get some more info for you. And when she looks at you, she has happy tears, which means that she's really proud of you, but also some of the things that you two had discussed in the past, so probably when you worked together or even earlier, something like that, it's almost like as if they're either coming to fruition now or they're about to come to fruition. So it feels like you may have spoken to her about certain goals or things like that that she hasn't been physically here for, but she's got so much happiness And I can see tears running down her face for you, for things being realized now or coming to fruition now. That's kind of one of the main things that she talks about. I also feel like with her passing, when I focus on her, it's like she closes her eyes and puts her head down, and she touches into her chest area, but she also references her head. So that to me means that with her passing, I feel like she wasn't, her consciousness wasn't really there. So she may have either suffered from a head injury, or she may have had dementia or something along those lines, because she keeps talking about not being fully aware all the time. But when she touches her chest, it feels like there's sadness also linked to her passing as well. But again, normally when they show me a body part, it could also represent there was issues around the lungs or the chest area. Does that make sense why she's doing that?
Yeah, I think it does. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's have a look. So she talks about her being happy, though, throughout her, like, she always kept a smile on her face, even though she talks about having, she definitely had bouts of, like, up and down in her life. And she even talks about there was, like trauma for her. So maybe that's how the two of you connected, because she's bringing trauma through. But she always had a smile on her face. That's one of the main things that she would like you to remember about her character. And she says, like, I'm flowing through life now on the other side. So that also signifies that she may have had difficulty in the human form, or the way life dealt her, if that makes sense. It's kind of how she's saying it to me. And she also keeps talking about, like, I feel like she can walk freely. That's what she's saying. So that could even represent the physical body being able to be more mobile, but also without the block that she always had. So she's trying to say to me, like, every time she wanted to do something, there'd always be a block, or there'd be someone that created a block. So, you know, but she's happy and she's very much at peace on the other side. And I feel like she is a lot around you, as well as people. She keeps talking about, like, she left people behind, to mean that she had either a family of her own, or she had close people that she would consider family. And she says, like, I'm with everybody, but she is with you. So there are times when you feel her, or you see, like, you know, that you see her, but do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like she's just wanting you to know that in the moments that you may not see or feel her, she is with you.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, when you first started talking, I thought of this person, and then I thought, oh, family, maybe it's blah, 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 and I got into my head. But, yeah, no, she's a strong energy that comes through, really special person.
Yeah, beautiful person. Like, you know, I feel for her in the human sense of what she's gone through, because she's making me feel some of those things that had occurred for her, but she's happy. She says to me, like, I wouldn't have changed it, because it feels like she met certain people along her travels that made her feel that she was okay and that she would be okay. And she kind of giggles as well. It's almost like as if she talks about, like she's using the word karma, but I'm just using that because she also uses other words that I won't say. But it's almost like as if certain either people or institutions or whatever the case may be, she kind of giggles that she's had the last laugh based on whatever it was that unfolded and where she's at the moment and maybe where they're at the moment. Does that make sense? Why she's saying that to me? Yeah.
She's a bit of an accident.
Without going too much detail.
No.
to you, so I can focus on some of the other things for you. But again, beautiful energy, really, really lucky for everyone to have her, because she's a powerhouse in looking out for people. Like, I feel that that was her purpose, and it's something that she strives to do here in the physical world, and she's definitely doing it on the other side. Okay.
It's very cute. I'll just tell you this quick story that my her name was Elizabeth, and when she lost her mobility, I took a computer over to her, connected her to the internet. She used to work with me for Nice for the Soul. She was really powerful, long white hair, you know, really powerful energy. And my youngest daughter couldn't say Elizabeth, so she called her Libibiz. So we always called her Libibiz. So it's Libibiz that we're talking to.
Beautiful. Oh, awesome. No wonder. Yeah, she's just, amazing powerhouse of energy, and it's just so proud of you, like so, so proud of you. Now, I do want to highlight, I won't go into all the details of the dogs and the other animals that I see because I feel like there's a lot there. But there seems to be one that, and like I said, I don't know much about breeds of dogs, but this one kind of, you know, like when you, it's not a chihuahua, but it doesn't have a lot of hair. So it's like short haired dog, if that makes sense. And its face is the most cutest face and it pulls its ears back and it's got the biggest like brown eyes and it just wants to look cute. And it feels like it's more of a lighter color. So it might be white with some markings on it, but it definitely doesn't feel like a dark colored dog. It feels like a light colored dog. And I see it so clearly. And it's almost like, I don't know when you had lost this particular fur baby, but it doesn't feel like it's a long, long time ago. Does that make sense? It feels like it might be, and it's just like it's the most, it's the softest, gentlest energy, and all it wants to do is like lick your face, but it's pulling its ears back. So that may have been like its signature kind of move sometimes, or do you know what I mean? Like, it's just super excited and like, and they just want you to know that they haven't left your side and they're really happy that you have other fur babies. And it feels like they're playing with your other fur babies. So I don't know if you sense that, but especially this one, I'm not saying that. Yeah. It's like they're always there and it's just like such a beautiful energy. And I feel like very protective as well. So this particular fur baby of yours was very, very protective of you. Very loving, very soft energy, but also like has this masculine kind of energy with it where it's just like, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to love you unconditionally, like in this very feminine, soft way, but I'm also going to protect you. Even though I'm tiny, I can beat anybody. That's kind of the energy that I feel around this particular dog.
Yeah, she was 3 pounds soaking wet.
so cute. Oh, absolutely beautiful, beautiful dog. So I'll also send that back over to you. So now I'm wanting to focus a little bit on this career aspect and just health and well-being overall in general. So when I focus on the career stuff, so obviously I know about the News for the Soul and because we're here today, but what they're wanting you, they keep bringing up a book. So it feels like, and I keep talking about like a memoir. So have you written a book or are you thinking of writing a book where it's like a memoir or of your story or other people's stories?
Ironically, my soul sister was just emailing me, bugging me all week saying, you know, you should be doing it. This is the universe yelling at me now.
Yes. Yeah, because that's the first thing that they say when I focus on your career. Like, tell us about the book and the memoir. Chop, chop. But I also feel that with this book, I feel like you're also going to write other people's memoirs or they may have a chapter in another book that you decide to do because they keep saying to me, like, you are an amazing interviewer in extracting the right information for, like, the viewers, for the collective, from an individual. So I feel like your own memoir will come out first. But don't be surprised if, because I keep saying there'll be other books and it's other people's stories. Because, like, it's funny, they say to me, like, one of the main reasons you want to write about you is that you don't necessarily want to talk about you, but you know that your story is very powerful is what they're telling me. So you know that you have to share it because for a lot of people out there, it's going to be quite healing. But you love allowing someone else to take center stage. You love allowing someone else to like flourish, right? So they are saying that there will be other books that you write that are very spiritual based, and so some of the chapters might be, you know, things that you know, things that you're wanting to share about, you know, spirituality or just messages. But then within those chapters and within that book, you'll bring on the different people that you've connected with or that you feel will also be able to contribute to that book, and it's about extracting the information from them as well that will then help. So it's like what we're doing now but in a book form,
right?
And a lot more, you know, detailed. So they're showing me two different books, and I do feel like I don't know if you've ever wanted to do stage stuff or events, but they keep showing me you doing that as well. So whether that's you hosting and having almost like guest speakers come up, that's kind of what they're showing me as well. So I definitely feel like that is on the horizon for you if you haven't already thought about it or something to kind of bring
in
to
the early years.
And
I started out like that. I was publishing a newspaper, I was hosting huge events with 14 speakers and bands, and oh my god, I just but I got really tired. But yeah, who knows in the future.
Yeah, but they're bringing it up again, so it might be doing it differently, if that makes sense. So rather than doing it hugely like the way you did, scaling it down, and it's because it feels like I see you like on stage, and sometimes that stage could also mean it doesn't have to be like in front of a live audience, could very well be online, but I'm actually seeing you. So it's not like the radio where we're talking, it's like I can see you and there's like a guest speaker. And again, they keep talking about Oprah, so it's probably just my reference to be like what Oprah does sometimes, like, you know, where you can't, she will host something, it doesn't have to be a full-on day thing, but she comes out, does the intro, someone comes in. So it's almost like, this is probably why they're saying even the books kind of, you know, formulate that way. It's like you want the world to gain as much access to information, messages, healing and guidance, and you're the facilitator for it. And Spirit saying these will all come back around for you. So it's interesting. They say to me, like, sometimes you'll have ideas and you'll start something, and then when you're finished with it, it's like you move on to something else. And they keep saying, but there's this cycle with you, which means that you always tend to not bring something back in what how it once looked, but go to the next level with that. So the events would probably be the next level of that, and it might be more specific and less people, and it might be like a regular, you know, thing, but it's just you and maybe one person, and people come to those stuff. That's kind of how they're showing me when it comes to your career. I still feel like News for the Soul is an amazing platform, and they're saying to me that you will also develop that further. So I'm not sure what that actually means for you. I think you know what that means, and I don't want to talk too much about it because I feel like there's stuff that you're going to announce, and they keep showing me like the next 3 months, and they keep showing me like the month of March being really significant. So it feels like there's certain things that you're gearing up for to announce and do and develop with this particular platform. So it's some really exciting stuff for you in the immediate future, but also I feel like in the next 2 to 3 years there's a lot of busyness going on, and there's a lot of people requiring your time or your personal story and your thoughts. So exciting. So that's the career thing. When I focus on the health and well-being, even though they take me straight away more so to like your abdomen, so to be that particular area, so whether it's your digestive system or certain aspects in there. And they also talk about, I don't know if you have an autoimmune compromise, or because when they show me like the blood running through, that tends to mean that there is either an autoimmune thing or just focusing on your immunity. Again, I don't know too much detail because it is your own personal stuff. But they're just highlighting aspects around your abdominal area. It's like, they're using the word like, I want to say like clinical trials, but I don't think it's necessarily clinical trials. I feel like either you've been poked and prodded in the past, and maybe certain things haven't necessarily been sorted. But they're saying to me that there is, it's like the time is coming now for any of your ailments, specifically, like I said, around that abdomen area and that run through the blood system to heal, if that makes sense. So you might have found that for a number of years or however long you've had, like, whatever this is, that you don't always get it sorted, or it feels like, oh, there's like still this niggling thing that kind of comes back, and it's like you've been wanting to heal it and you've been trying, you've been doing everything, but it's almost like the universe saying, nope, not yet, not fully, not yet. And it's like they're telling me that it's coming to the point where you will find that peace in that space to do with that, but also there will be healing that comes. Does that make sense why that's come through?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, and that's good news.
Okay. Awesome. Yes. Yeah, and they keep saying, like, I know she's been waiting for this for quite some time. So they do apologize that, you know, it's almost like they're just saying you weren't meant to heal from it fully based on where you are now and when that started. That's all. So it was part of the plan or part of the journey, as, you know, good about as that sounds, but I will talk about technology. So it must also be about technology or where we have come to from a holistic practice or a medical practice, that it'll be more beneficial for you now, if that makes sense.
Yep, I think so.
Yeah, awesome. Perfect.
Wow.
Wonderful. So hopefully you enjoyed that.
I did.
So that's
you, know, you can energetically really feel when someone's connecting in, and that was fun. That was really cool.
Awesome. I'm glad you liked it.
Oh, my gosh. And we've got 4 minutes to the top. Holy cow, the time does zip by.
Oh, wow.
All right, here's what we got to do. Thank you for that. At the end of every show, we do something called shameless self-promotion, our tradition here. We're coming from a place of high heart and service, knowing that this is the moment that someone has a chance to hear about what you offer. You've got 4 minutes-ish to completely let it rip. Any kind of specials, any kind of events, whatever you got going on, this is your time.
Awesome. Awesome. So the best way for people to connect with me is through the Instagram page, which is at modern.day.medium. So I post everything there. But what's coming up for people to do is they can come and have a healing with me. It's called the Deep Healing. So that's 90 minutes where we go through the healing that I mentioned earlier on in the show, how I work. That can be done in person or online, so it doesn't matter where you are in the world. The diary is open for that, so you can make a booking at any time. The other thing that's coming up in February, so again, all the dates are in the link in my bio on my Instagram page, the beginning of the Mystic Circle for this year. So there are scheduled classes for that from February to July at this stage. And just to look out for the Women's Circle, which I'm aiming to begin in May of this year or thereabouts. So they are like the three things that people can access now to come and work with me, and all those things. There'll always be a level of healings and readings and spiritual teachings. Obviously, News for the Soul, you know, this particular segment for me is going to be offering my gift for all of your wonderful listeners and people who call in. So that's another way to be able to, you know, connect with me. And also I am working on some other mentoring programs. So I'm working with a beautiful bunch of people in a 6-month program, but I've also created a 3-month program. So again, look out for that. I haven't decided when I'm going to start it, but that's all about inner frequency. So that's going to be about the frequency in different aspects of your life. It's an intensive mentoring program, and it's about raising your vibration, giving you as much information as you possibly need to help guide you and move you through 3 specific areas of your life. So at modern.day.medium is the best platform. I've got a podcast channel. You know, that is all about spiritual teaching. So there's past episodes there. That one won't be moving forward as in new episodes because I'm obviously evolving onto News for the Soul. But there are past healings, past teachings that you can listen to, and that is on Apple and Spotify and some other wonderful platforms out there, and that is called Life Awkward Spiritually Raw. So, and again, my Instagram page, it has many healings that I've done in the past, many readings. So by all means, if you want to kind of feel into my energy first before you come and connect with me, it's all there for you. So that's me in a nutshell and how people can come work with me.
Yay, the modern day medium, Julie. Been great to get to know you today. Thanks again for being here and being part of News for the Soul. I'm looking forward to your next show already.
Yay, thank you so much. This is, like I said, I feel blessed. I had asked for something like this for many, many years. So when you reached out to me, I was gobsmacked because it came at the perfect time, and you know, it's something that I've always wanted to do. Like I've wanted to, which is why I don't offer one-on-one readings anymore, because I said to myself, when I move into mentoring and doing classes, I want my readings to be on a wider scale, and that is easily accessible for everybody. So your News for the Soul has been able to, you know, facilitate that for me. So I'm so grateful that I'll be able to read and do, you know, healings for people moving forward, you know, that come through your channel. So very, very blessed. Thank you so much for your time today and for my show moving forward.
Yay. Julie is all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. We're back with more right after this quick reset break.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Everybody, welcome to News for the Soul. This is Daniel Brinkley.
This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
From the heart of Vancouver, what a great place to bring News for the Soul.
I know, isn't it perfect? Remember that movie Dead Zone, Christopher Walken?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was like that for real.
I think reasonably accurate, too, honey.
Oh, that's an understatement, honey.
Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. We know that we choose to come to this world, and we're chosen to come to this world, and we've come for breath. We breathe in for ourselves and out for spiritual unfoldment. And as we breathe these moments, let's open up our hearts and open up our souls, and let the true awareness of News for the Soul make its impact now and forever.
Well, Daniel just mentioned the heart attack. That is how he died, isn't it?
Yes.
Wow.
He had two heart attacks, right up one right after the other.
Yeah, that's what I
said.
Wow. No, I had him. I have him.
You know, the whole thing about the spirituality and the...